This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Tech, show number 141, recorded on October 31st, 2013. Here on Home Tech, we cover all your favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home. News, reviews, product updates, and conversation. All for the Average Tech Guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios. Here in a beautiful Bellevue, Nebraska, in a Halloween evening. The kids are out in full force, collecting candy and cavities all at the same time. And of course, we post the show with world-class show notes out at theAverageGuy.tv. If you have questions, comments, or contributions, of course, you can always contact me via email. Just send it to podcast@theAverageGuy.tv. You can find me on Twitter at Jay Collison or follow the show schedule on our Twitter account at TheAverageGuyTV. You can also join us for live chat during the show over at TheAverageGuy.tv Live. Maybe you found us on Google Plus or on YouTube, and if you've done either one of those, the only chat we really check is over at TheAverageGuy.tv Live. So we'll give you a few minutes. Head over there and join us in chat. No account required to do that. You can just head over there and log into live stream with any handle you want and join us for chat. We also have a high bandwidth streaming option, so if you want to get some really good video, you can go to just go to theAverageGuy.tv, look in the upper right-hand corner. It'll say YouTube, high bandwidth, and click on that, and you get our YouTube page. We also have some low bandwidth options as well via live stream out at theAverageGuy.tv/live. All right, well, we're kind of back kicking it old school tonight. I've got John Zadler, my fellow Windows Home Server MVP. And John, I think I can say that for a while because they haven't asked me what they want to do with my MVP. I mean, I don't renew until April. You renewed in July, right?
Yeah, that's right. But they were asking me a few months earlier there about, where would I, I was getting like emails saying, what group would I want to join and that. And it's a bit like, I think somebody else said it there. I'm not sure if it was Terry Walsh or one of the other guys there. He said something like, hey, if I can't be Windows Home Server MVP, then I don't want to be MVP. So if they don't make another group and stuff like that, because even though I've been playing around with the Windows Server 2012 Essentials, R2, and those are like business apps, and it's not very good unless you can get it like on TechNet and at a cheap price. Even then, like the 2012 stuff, I find it's a little tough. I see a video coming in.
Yeah, so Christian's trying to join us live from a traveling bus going from Maryland down to Langley. Christian, can you hear us?
Yes, I can for the time being.
Well, we'll just figure you're going to drop in and out as the evening goes on. So if you're saying something in the middle of a sentence and you just drop out, John and I will just keep going. How does that sound?
Sounds good to me.
All right, we'll give it a shot. So, John Zadler, you were saying, so they've asked you. They haven't asked me what to do with the MVP. So should I be worried? I mean, do you think that's a bad thing?
Well, I would say go on the, the MVP, Microsoft MVP list where they have all the MVP, and see if your name is still there. See if you've been grayed out.
No, it's still there. I just checked it the other day. So that's a little scary. Yeah, I'm going to ask, we're going to be in Redmond on the week of November 17th. So the 18th, 19th, 20th, 21st, Dave McCabe and I will be in Redmond at the MVP conference. Sweet. So I will probably meet my MVP, I hope, the MVP coordinator while I'm there. And I'll have to ask that question, like, what are you guys going to do with me? Because, I mean, obviously the home server's gone, and you guys have already closed that out, and you've made it pretty clear we're not going to have home server MVPs anymore. So I'll have to get that figured out. So
yeah, I know there was a group called, I think, File Server or something to that effect. So we'll see if that's the case. So you go on there so that you can get your $200.
$250 Surface R2 or R2. Listen to me, that's like R2D2. The $250 Surface 2, which is the RT. I put RT in parentheses. Yeah, I think I'll definitely pick that up for sure.
Well, what summit do you recall? There was one recently that where they gave the Iconia W3 or something, that sort of the poor man's tablet. They had given all the MVP guys one for free. They gave them, I think, they were able to get a Windows RT for, I think, $100 or $200, right?
$99 a build, I think. Okay, yeah, it was build.
A build? Oh, yeah. So they gave him $100, and then they got the other one thrown in for free. Here you go. Just take one of those. But
yeah.
Now they want $250. Yeah, they figured
it's $200.
A credit of $250.
A credit of $200. Yeah. Okay. And then that takes the total price to $250. And they're being generous enough. They're giving us for free the version one touch cover. Which's really a piece of junk. I mean, it lasted most people like 3 months before it started going bad. And then most people just ditched it. So I'll use it till it breaks. And then what we saw in last week's show on 140, we had David Washington on he's a tech evangelist for Microsoft. They have a brand new set of touch and type covers that they look and sound infinitely better than the version one. So I'll probably use that cover they give me till it breaks, which probably will be in a week, and then I will go out and have to buy a version two. But John, they're both backlit. Both the Type and the Touch are backlit, and it looks really good. So they're expensive at $130 a pop. That's a little expensive for a keyboard.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. You know, those accessories. Was it another one there? Oh, yeah, I think Dave was reviewing the little view, Dell.
Last night on Surface Geeks.
And it's like, don't they want like $40 for like a pen, a stylus?
Like,
sometimes you kind of wonder, you know, if these guys nickel and dime you, or, I mean, okay, this device is $300, so that's a decent price, you know, out the gate there. But, if they're going to charge you, we're going to charge you $40 for a stylus, and we're going to charge you $110 or $100 whatever for a tab, for a keypad. It's almost like, aren't these devices Bluetooth enabled?
They are.
And you got one of those nice little keyboards.
I do. I do.
Yeah. So just fire it on up and forget about it.
Forget about it. Yeah, it's true, because it's got the kickstand, so you could just throw the kickstand, throw the thing up, put it on the kickstand, and just go to town with the Bluetooth keyboard, for sure.
I mean, if that's what the iPad guys are doing, right? Because they don't got no Microsoft nice...
Yeah, the only drawback to that is that integrated, it's a cover for the Surface, and so it protects the screen, and... So I do like having one of those where, I've been carrying around that wedge keyboard with my phone. And just today I was at the local university waiting on a meeting, and I pulled out my phone and I set it up on its tent, because I got one of those little, phone holders that also puts the phone up like this. And I just started doing email, and it was fantastic. That wedge keyboard is nice, and I'd recommend that to anybody. So I'll post a link to that in the show notes. Later, I've been talking about it for the last couple weeks, but I think $60, $65, something like that. So, anyways, Christian, so you're back, and it sounded like there was some noise behind you there.
Yeah, there's some commotion, but I don't know how active my mic is here. So,
yeah, well, we don't hear too much of it, but if it gets too loud, just mute for us or whatever. So, hey, before we get too far, Christian, and before we lose you again, wanted to see if there was anything, if you wanted to do an abbreviated Christian's Corner. You got anything to share? Well, I guess not, because he's gone again. Goodbye, Christian. There he goes.
Silence is golden.
Hey, a couple things. If you're a regular listener to the show, a couple things I'll just fill you in on. The Tech Scholarship Fund is moving along nicely, and actually we've got some more products and some more product reviews out. If you listen to the show and you have a product and it's time for you to review it, you know who you are. We've got a couple more on their way coming, but excited for that. It's been a great month for that, and I appreciate you purchasing Amazon and using our link. The easiest way to do that is go over to theaverageguy.tv/Amazon. We'll get you there. I thought I would tell you on that we've doubled it, what we normally give in a month, and so we're starting a new promotion with that out on the Facebook page. So if you haven't joined us yet on the Facebook group, go out to theaverageguy.tv/Facebook. I think that'll get you there. Or search for Home Tech on Facebook. It is a closed group, but we're doing a little contest. So if you join the group, and I've got all the instructions out there in the Facebook group, but join the group, and we'll allow you one deal post a week and up to four during the month, okay? One deal post a week or up to four during the month. So if you find something really cool on Amazon, go to it through theaverageguy.tv/Amazon, and then post that deal on the site. It's Christmas time. Everybody's looking for good deals. So I thought win-win situation. You guys find good deals. We'll post them to the site. You'll get four a month to do that with, one a week. It's the honor system. We also have a file that you can go out there and ask. I'm asking you to post it so I can track it. And then whoever has the biggest dollar amount in referrals during the month will automatically be eligible for the Tech Scholarship Fund come December. You just can ask for what you want to review, and we'll throw you in for that. So I thought that'd be kind of fun. Tony Rayner was saying, when are you going to get a Newegg link? I actually can't get a Newegg link. They booted me out of their program, and I can't get back in. I've applied several times, and it is it's been – I just can't get back in. So I'm kind of big on Amazon at this point. If you're going to do it through Amazon, theaverageguy.tv/Amazon. And if you got some great deals on Amazon through the month, come out to the Facebook page, theaverageguy.tv/Facebook, or just facebook.com/theaverageguy. And join our group. And then once you're in there, you can just post those deals. And again, whoever has the most dollar amount at the end of the month, I will call you and say, hey, what would you like for the Tech Scholarship Fund? I'll just ask you that you come on the show and talk about it. That's it. Or post if you want to do it. Either way, it'd be great to have you do that for us.
So you should show up at their house with one of those giant checks, you know, like and a couple of girls. You know,
and balloons and Ed McMahon and, yeah, and a check for $75.
You know, it make me think, Jim, I was hearing another guy was talking about the Amazon and how, you know, like if you buy that Prime, right? We don't have I'm not sure if we get Prime. Anyway, you pay one fee, right? $80 a year or whatever, and then it's next day delivery, but it's free shipping, right?
Right.
This is incredible. Some guys were saying that, you know, he says the other day, he says, I'm sitting down at the table, I'm eating or whatever, and then I'm thinking, or it must have been his wife, you know, and then she's thinking, you know what, we need toilet paper. And instead of, you know, going to the store and scheduling him for Google, like she goes on her iPad there and she orders toilet paper from Amazon. And the next day by 8 o'clock at night, there's a guy, a delivery guy with a box
Ding
of toilet
dong.
Paper. It's like, you know, and it's like, I don't know, maybe some states you get no tax or whatever, a special tax or whatever. So it's so convenient that instead of getting into your car and driving somewhere, I remember a little electronics place I used to go down near my parents, like it's maybe a 10, 15 mile drive, but they were only open during working hours, you know, so I had to like maybe take a day off or this or that. It was a bit messy. Then it's like I started ordering it online from like DigiKey, which you can buy little parts and stuff like that. But that was, you know, before these guys became popular, Newegg and stuff like that. So I mean,
right.
Newegg, Amazon, just, you know, just order your stuff online and have somebody else do all the walking for you.
Right. Yeah, no, right on. Hey, Christian, while we have you in here, any quick, before we lose you again, any quick Christian Corner stuff or are you all tapped out?
Yeah. So you guys should definitely check out MicrosoftOutlook.com finally decided to add IMAP functionality to their mail servers, which basically gives the Outlook.com service all the same features and goodies that the Google Apps free account used to have for Gmail. And you can stock up users in there pretty nicely. So it's a really great service for people who are looking to get back on a free cloud-based email servers.
Yeah, you know, and Microsoft through their domain, you know, they're one of the last companies that's still offering free email. You know, how you used to be able to get 50 free email accounts from Google, you know, through the Google apps, and so you could port your domain over, and then like we're actually doing that, Jim at theaverageguy.tv or Christian at theaverageguy.tv. Those are all accounts we created through Google apps, and they were for free. Well, Google took that away about a year ago and started charging $50 for that for small businesses, $50 a year, $2 a month, something like that for each account. And Microsoft, quietly, they might as well have been a secret, but they quietly kept theirs free. And so if you actually go to domains.live.com and log in, you can register your domain there with your Microsoft Live ID and then create up to 50 free email accounts using your domain. So you can still do that using kind of the live infrastructure, and that still works. So I've got some instructions for that. I'll throw those in the show notes as well.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to add your domain, and it uses the Outlook.com interface just as if you were to get a live account. Or just as if you were to get a Gmail account in the old interface. So it's a really nice way for companies, small businesses, and groups like ourselves to have a nice email service.
Yeah, and Outlook 2013 has a nice connector to it as well. And so if you still like the Outlook client and you don't want to use a web, you know, use a web service, you can still connect to that service using the Outlook 2013 connector, and it works real well. So it's still some email options out there. I think a lot of people have gotten through it, but not a bad way to go. What else, Christian? Oh, hey, talk a little bit about you had discovered some things on the web server this week. We were having all kinds of problems with the averageguy.tv, and you finally kind of tracked it down.
Yeah, so I finally figured out that a lot of the issues we were having was related to our...
And there goes Christian. Oops.
You know, Jim, related to what you're talking about, the email, Microsoft accounts and all of that, are you a steady user for a little bit?
Hold
on. Christian, you know, you keep talking thinking that it's actually doing something, and then he'll drop here in just a second when he hears that we're talking. Because the audio keeps going, right? Yep, there he goes. So the audio keeps going, but you can't hear it, and then it all tries to catch up. So go ahead, John. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, you're using Windows 8 now, or are you steady using Windows 8, or are you still using 7?
Well, I'm using 7 here on the broadcast server and on the studio PC for podcasting. I haven't had the guts to change. And you know what? To go to 8.1 is not a big deal for me. It's just a bunch of setup, and I've been working weekends, and I haven't had time to do it, so I'm not afraid of it. I moved to 8.1 on my laptop, so I'm good there.
Because the reason I'm asking is because, some of my, I got older brothers and sisters, and they're like, you know, they're in the 60 ballpark, you know, so it's like, you know, you give them something a little too complicated, it's like, yeah, Microsoft ID, what? Forget it.
Forget about it.
So yeah. One of the things is that, because, you know, they want you to set up a Microsoft ID, you know, when you log in. So, you know, all your stuff is now synchronized if you had a tablet or if you went to another PC and such. So, I mean, you recall, I guess I'm not sure if you read about it, but Microsoft allows you to now set your primary email address, like not as your – it doesn't have to be your Microsoft like, let's say you have a Hotmail account or a .live account. It could be a Gmail account. So a lot of these people, you know, like you and me, back in the day, it's like, my brother, he has a little company, one of his clients has a company, and they have, like, you know, whatever, 20 employees, and they're all using Gmail accounts. That's how they do it through there, so it saves some costs and stuff like that. So what you could do is, like, you can say, okay, I'm going to make my Gmail account as my primary email account. And then when you set that up in the Microsoft, like you have to go to their site and you set that up, then what happens is now you can log into Windows 8 using that Gmail account instead of using your Windows, because then, you know, my brother says, why do I need another Outlook account to log in? I'm never going to remember it, this and that. I said, you know your Gmail? You know how to go get your email and stuff? I said, yeah, @gmail@whatever, and then this password. So I said, this is the same way now you're going to log into your Windows 8 machine. Just type in your, you know, you'll see your email address, and then you'll type in your password, which you already know, and you're good. So it's a nice convenient way so that people don't get all messed up with all this having to, say, you know, create a Microsoft account and then have to go down that road. So I find it's a convenience.
So what you're talking about is in the account settings, right, in your Microsoft account settings?
Yeah,
right.
Go to Outlook and preferences or something like that.
Yep.
You see something where it says, let's say, jim@hotmail.com. Does it say
right.
It's a
primary? So it says, yeah, jcollison@live.com. That's my primary alias. Mm-hmm. So I just I can change that to my Gmail account then. So yeah. Add or change aliases.
Yahoo account or whatever your primary guy is. You just got to add them there, and then you say, okay, now switch it to this account. So now when you're going to go to your Windows, so same thing for your, you know, like let's say your wife, you know, she's not into, but you're in your case, your wife, she knows she's more computer geeky, but, you know, a lot of guys, their wives, you know, they bought them maybe a tablet or this or that, or their laptop. It's like, just log in with your email account, Hotmail or Google or Yahoo, and that'll get you in, and all your stuff will come up. Because, you know, with Windows 8, right, or 8.1 now, you know how it'll sync your desktop and all your apps and stuff will be all pulled in. So you need to have that consistency, because if you just created a local account and then you went on another device, it's not going to bring in all that stuff.
Yeah.
So it's a nice way to bring that.
So just if you're listening, so go to your Live account or whatever your Microsoft account is, log in the upper right-hand corner will be a picture of you and your name. If you drop that down and choose account settings, it'll take you to the overview page. And then from the overview page, right in the account aliases section, right, it says add or change aliases right below that, right in the middle of the screen. And I'd show this to you, but all my accounts are there, and I've already told you what my Live account is, so I'm going to leave it at that. But then all your aliases are listed there, and you could add, say, at a Yahoo account, you could add your Yahoo or Gmail account as an alias. And then there's a green little Make Primary, and you just click that Make Primary, and that now becomes your primary Microsoft ID, right? Now, John, that doesn't change all the setup stuff that you have there with Microsoft, right? All it does is change the ID that you're using to log in with, right?
Yeah, that's it. And I think you could still log in with your old one, but just for the sake of being simple, it's just use your, you would log in like with whatever you chose. Like now, if your default email is Gmail or Google, you would log in with that, and all your other accounts are still they still exist. When you go and you create your their you use like their mail app and stuff like that. Well, what's neat is because you used your Gmail, then it'll have created that Gmail, and now your Gmail stuff will be pulled in, you know, as you go in to create your email, in the Metro app there.
All yeah. The stuff will come yeah. In. Yeah,
so
very
it's
cool.
Pretty, it's pretty cool. I like it. It's something I've been using.
It's another way to get more SkyDrive space too, as well. If you want, like, so I have my Yahoo account is assigned or is associated with a Microsoft ID, and I got 5 more gig of storage with that account. So with every account that you get 5 gig of storage, and so you can get a few more bits of storage if you do it that way. So that's a good tip, John. Nicely done. Yeah, that's a good way to go about it. I've been using my Live ID to log in, and I've been noticing Windows 8, when I upgraded to Windows 8.1, it asked me now, hey, do you want to keep? It says, hey, I see some profiles that you've logged in before on. Do you want to use those profiles, or would you like to just start fresh? In other words, not bring all that saved profile information in, screen, your primary screen and some lock information, all that other stuff. So that was nice. Nice little option. I said no, and it kind of set it up the way it was supposed to, and which gets a little messy when we're testing. I've been testing a lot with 8.1 on here, and when you had 8 before, it would just automatically assign. It said, okay, hey, Jim Collison, you're going to get your profile whether you like it or not. And it would bring, I had some stuff set up on the laptop, and it brought all that stuff forward, desktop, backdrop, and all that other stuff.
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, like in that settings screen and all of that, you're going to see where it's going to be written trusted PCs. And as you add PCs, because you get that, what do they call it, dual authentication. It's not going to, like if you went to your brother's house and you signed in with your Gmail account, it's not going to want to bring in your stuff in on his computer. It's going to say authorize this PC, and then you would say yes, and then it would send an a code to whatever he set as his second authentication, whether it be an instant message or Gmail. Let's say sent a code to a Gmail account, then he would get that. You would say yes, that's the number, and then you would be able to log in with your account on his PC.
Yeah.
So, when I test around, I get a lot of that, email there saying, do you want to trust this PC? The yes or no. And like you said, well, 8.1, they cleaned that up a little bit where they say, do you want to bring in that desktop? We see you have these PCs all trusted. Which one of the profiles do you want to bring in? And because like my brother has a laptop and a desktop, both running Windows 8.1, but he's using, let's say, Photoshop or this or that, some programs on his PC that he's only using his laptop as for consumption to like surf and stuff. So he doesn't want the same icons and all of that stuff, the Metro apps set, he doesn't want them in sync. So that's what's nice is you can untick those boxes. You can say, no, I don't want to bring in the start menu and the such and such, and just, you can pick and choose what you want. So it's nice that they're giving you some of that functionality.
Yeah. Yeah, no, very good. That's very good. I've really liked 8.1. I mean, it just works. It's been good. Maybe I mentioned this on the show. Everything starts to blend together, but I updated Sarah's, you know, Sarah, my wife, she's running HP 310 up in the kitchen. It's a touch, it's a two position or two, what do they call that when you,
two touch points,
thank you. So it's an older one, you know, everything coming out now is a minimum of 10 touch points, but two touch point works great for her, and actually she was having some trouble with some stuff that fixed the 8.1 update, kind of fixed some things, made things a little zippier, but when I was showing her the new feature, to go from the Metro or the tiled screen, you just flick up and all the tiles are there. You know, all the programs are there underneath it. God, she was like, "Oh, that's great!" And so it's those little things, you know, that make it better for her. So she's been real happy with it. It's worked for her. I know for Mike Howard, that experiment with his wife did not work as well. And Mike, sorry about that. That your wife did not like that as much as Sarah took onto it, but. So far, Windows 8.1 has been a great experience. I haven't used it a ton, John, to be honest with you. I put it on the laptop, and I've been so busy that I haven't been able to get to it very much. But so far, so good.
The one that I like the most is where your background is the same. The background in your Metro is the same as your desktop. Because before, it was a bit of a shocker. If you had a 20-inch monitor or larger, you're jumping from that to that. So at least this way, if the background is the same, it gives you the illusion that it's sort of like clearing your desktop. And then it's putting these squares, and they kind of like slide in nice. There's some nice fluid stuff. They come in, and then you hit the Windows key, and then they kind of fly off there. So
yeah.
So at least it's not so jarring, and I like that option, especially like if you had one of those big PCs, in the kitchen there.
Yeah, where you're right in front of it, and it just doesn't feel like you're jarring right out of it. The Tony Rayner was saying, he's in chat. He says he also likes the boot to desktop, which is great, right? I got to agree that. That is really nice. I have not set it to that yet just because I don't use that PC a lot for work. But if it was my work PC, I definitely would just boot right to the desktop because that's where I get 90% of my business done. John, it will be interesting to see when I go onto the Surface 2 and I don't have, right? I really don't have a desktop at that point, and I'm going to try and force myself to do as much as I can on that. I talked, 3 or 4 weeks ago about the trackpad had stopped working on my laptop, and I was going to try and use the Metro for everything. And that was tough. That was tough for me to go completely Metro. And that sounded kind of funny. Sorry about that. But that's difficult for me to use the Metro UI or the Windows experience. So I don't know. We'll see. Surface 2, it's RT. So we'll see how it goes.
I wonder if they're going to have the Office RT. That you can kind of maybe download that package. Because, like with Office 365, they're allowing you to, you can install Office 2013 on your PC, and if you use an Office 365 account, then it'll authorize you. It'll say, oh, yeah, okay, you got permissions. You don't have to spend $500 for the OS. So I'm wondering if, if the suite there that's for the Outlook, because Outlook they're giving it now, right? Outlook RT or whatever they call it on the tablet.
Yep.
Windows 8 RT tablet or Surface 2. Surface 2 is the RT one, right? So, they're giving the apps because I'm not too crazy. Some people say they really like the I should caveat myself. I'm not too crazy about the built-in mail app, the Metro app. Mind you, some people said, it's come a little bit better and stuff. But I wonder, I'm so used to using Outlook, Outlook 2013 or Outlook 2010, that I wonder if you'd be able to get the Outlook RT, and slap that onto a Windows 8 Pro machine. You know what I mean? So a non-RT Pro, but you just say, hey, can I just purchase those, that Outlook as an app, from the App Store?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Let me show you, John, some of what I've been doing lately. And I think I was listening to a Windows Weekly, and one of those guys brought this back up again. So here's Outlook as it is in at Outlook.com, and I actually took out Office 2013 completely off this computer that I'm working on, and I thought, I'm going to try and use the free apps, right? So just come over, I loaded a few up into my SkyDrive. So come over to there. Jump into the SkyDrive, and then here's let me see if I can pull something up that I can actually show on the screen. So we'll here's the airport schedule from the meetup, right? And it just brings that Excel web app right up. And so for most things, I have the SkyDrive loaded on the Windows home server, so that's the only place SkyDrive exists or is syncing. And then I can come on this computer, I can just come through that interface and get all those documents. And I think in 99% of the time, I don't need those Office apps even installed here. I mean, like you can see, I just bring that up and it works. You know, it shows me that information. And when I want to go back to SkyDrive, I just drop back in there. And if I want to take a peek at some of the pictures that we've got out there, I can pop out. And I think I've got some. Let's see if I've got some Meetup. No, not in there. Maybe I haven't moved. Oh, the roll, the camera roll is what I'm looking for. Where is that on here? Let's see if that gets it. So anyways, that is, that is an option there that allows me to not even have Office installed at all.
Yeah. It's a bit like one of those hidden gems or something there, these Office web apps that you can use them, and the functionality, like you can right click on an image, you can't do some of the stuff that, you're clicking on now. It's like, there's some functionality in this app here that you wouldn't be able to do on regular web pages, but like expand a folder and all this kind of stuff. You can't do that on a regular website. You need the Microsoft is doing some fancy coding over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, here's some pictures from the meetup, right? And these I took on the Lumia 520 and just automatically updated the camera roll. There's the averageguy.tv on a Surface, a Surface RT at this point. Why am I? Can you hear that? Do you hear that? Do you hear that, John?
No.
Oh, it's my printer is just freaking out. It's Halloween, man. What the heck is going on? What the heck is going on? So I'm kind of back. I say back, but it was just one of those thoughts I had the other day. I'm like, because I had put Office 2013 on the PC and I never activated it. And you and I were trying to do some things where we were messing around with the Office 365 and I never really got it activated. And it kept reminding me every time I tried to use it, it kept reminding me, hey, you haven't activated this thing. And so as I was driving home the other day, I was thinking about this. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to take, I was listening to Windows Weekly. I'm like, I'm going to take Office 2013 completely off and I'm going to try and go web apps and see how that goes. And so I did. I came home and installed it. And for the last couple of days, I've been just using the web apps. And I can't, at least at this point, I can't see since I have access to my SkyDrive. Now, that wouldn't work for me at work because we block SkyDrive where I work. So I can't get to those things unless I go through our dirty network and use my own equipment. But to me, that seems like a really nice way to for 95% of the time to use Office. And I'm sure there's other reasons why I wouldn't want things more powerful than what comes on the web there, but I can't think why right now. Can you think of anything?
Well, I guess in the case of, if you're using like the desktop version, if you wanted to put things in different folders, create rules and stuff like that, you want that be running now in the background. The web app is a bit like you're going there, you're checking your email, and then you're kind of like getting offline,
Yeah.
And so I guess if you want to schedule a meeting and all this stuff, maybe there is some functionality in there, but I don't know. I think there's probably more functionality on the built-in, the desktop versions.
Well, I'm getting ready, as I think about, although Surface 2 does come with Office, but it would make a nice, if it say it didn't, even on the Pro, that would make a nice addition to Pro and just use the web apps if you can. Now, a guy like Mike Howard who builds these big, gigantic spreadsheets, not a good way to go, but certainly, I think for the average guy, not a bad option. If you don't want to fork the money down for Office, one of the things they reminded us at work today, and I'll remind you again as we go into the new year, many of the organizations that you might or that you work for currently are software assurance customers, right? They've purchased Microsoft software under this term called software assurance. And check with your IT guys. Maybe you're the IT guy. In there, you can actually get, they have a home purchase program and you can get Office for $10. A full version of Office 2013, $9.99 through Microsoft's home. I think it's called HUD or HUM or something along those lines. Home use program, I think is what it's called. And they get you some serious discounts. So ask your IT guy or check in with your IT staff, see if they are software assurance. It's that time of year that you can take advantage and get those purchased. The other thing that you can do is Sometimes your hardware vendors also offer discounts. We use a couple vendors, Dell and Toshiba. They also, because we have big enterprise accounts with us, they also offer discounts on hardware. So you might want to check that too to see if your organization can give you a discount code. And some big organizations even have a wireless discount. So if you're not taking advantage of some kind of wireless discount in doing that, like I'm a AAA member and I had no idea, I get 10% off my Sprint bill, right? Just register there, call Sprint and mention AAA and it's 10% off my bill. So make sure this is the time of the year. Christmas is an expensive time. Save every dollar as you can. So good stuff. John, I want to share a quick customer email with you here. One of the guys that I met at the meetup, his name's Sanford. And sorry, I called him Jim Sanford earlier. That's because I had put my name in there first. No, that Jim is my name. His name's Sanford. And he's good. And he sent me through the Home Service Show forums. He sent me this note. Now, the only reason I read this is because you know the saga of my Civic Hybrid, right? It's a fancy bit of technology all wrapped up inside a car. And thank goodness Paul Breran had warned me. He has the same exact Civic I do. And he had warned me, hey, those batteries, right, they're good at about 100. So you might want to keep checking them. And sure enough, my IMA light, integrated motor assist light, came on at about, I don't know, 8,000 miles left on my Civic. And so Sanford, he also has a Civic. He has a 2007 hybrid, and we were talking about it at the meetup. And he said, he said this to me. He says, Jim, remember that I was driving a 2007 hybrid. You were telling me about the batteries going bad and how expensive they were to replace. I was worried about ours. Well, on Sunday, this last Sunday, the car turned 91,000 miles. Then the check engine light and IMA light both came on. That's never a good sign when both those come on. That meant the batteries have an issue. We always knew they were not right. Took it into the dealership, and guess what? The pack needed replacing. So it's a whole battery pack. It sits under the back seat. They're not cheap. But the best is the extended warranty that Honda put in place due to these issues runs out at, guess what, 92,000 miles. He says, so he was covered by 1,000 miles. That's close. That's awesome, by the way. Yeah. 1,000 miles. Can't believe it. For once in my life, things are going in my direction. For once in my life, it's going in my direction. Just thought I'd let you know that little tidbit. So, Sanford, appreciate the update on that. That's some nasty technology, and when it goes bad, yeah, it's like $3,000 to replace those batteries. And they are, you know, they're high-tech stuff, right? I mean, it's not cheap to get it done. So I told you I would read that on the show, and so thanks for sending that in. If you've got something technology you want to share but you don't have time to jump on the podcast, you can always send it to me. Send me an email, podcast@theaverageguy.tv, and we will get your email, hopefully, read online. John, did you see Kevin Schoonover was kind enough to post out at theaverageguy.tv this week? He has a new new Android tablet that he was trying, an Ematic, I think is how they pronounce it, Ematic EGP008. It's an 8-inch Android tablet. It was $129 that was out there. And so he put a review out at theaverageguy.tv. It's actually the very, right now, it's the very first one on the page, but you can go out and take a peek at it. Have you, John, this is fairly inexpensive for an Android tablet, $129. Is that, where do you want to be with a tablet? You know, I know it's not always easy to come by that stuff, but are you eyeballing anything at this point?
The only thing I seem to like is that that Dell, Venue?
The one Dave was looking at, yeah?
Yeah, Venue 8. Yeah, because it's it's a Windows 8 device, and you can slap in it's not a desktop, but at least you're not worried if you say, I got some nice small games that I played with in the past or some little apps you like to play around with, and say at least I could throw that onto that a tablet device and get going. Because I don't know, my brother has one of those I think a first gen Nexus 7, which is a nice little machine and stuff. I don't know how much that came out. It was a few $100, and it's like, I don't find myself he lent it to me, and I didn't find myself like picking it up and using it and stuff like that. I don't know. Maybe I'm an old man, and it's like, I don't want to get into Android. I know Windows, and maybe I've been putzing around with the 8.1, the Metro interface. As far as Android device, I don't know. Maybe keep the Android for the phone and stuff, but you know, for like I don't know. So I'm kind of looking. Hopefully that machine won't be chugging along, because you know how Windows 8 or Windows 7 was. After a while, you know, your machine seems to be slowing down. You know, hopefully with Windows 8 OS, you know, you won't have so much of this. All of a sudden, your memory is filling up. You know, your hard drive. Remember, they had these issues with the Windows 7 where all of a sudden, you know, your hard drive, it tells you, you know, you only have 500 megs left.
Yeah. Yeah, well, here's a shot of these new Android tablets. You know, I was shocked. I actually got a piece of mail from Dell that had all these tablets highlighted, and this new 7-inch tablet is $149, and the one Kevin was talking about was $129. Now it's an 8-inch tablet, and this is a 7. Out of Dell. Let me expand this out a little bit so you can see that. But they also have the Venue 7 with a stylus, and they've got an Essentials bundle where it ships with an additional 32 gig of a micro SD and the stylus that comes with it. So it's just a $10 stylus. That's all, John, in the realm of things. You know, it's just a $10 stylus from Dell. 40, eh? But they also have, and this is what Dave was talking about last night, is this new Venue 8 Pro tablet. This is running Windows 8, and this is the 8-inch size. And those start at $229, which isn't that the price of a, isn't $229 the price of a, oh, no, I'm sorry. $299, sorry. Yeah, so, but yeah. That's still cheaper than
That's a great price. Because let me tell you, like, you know, I tweeted before just as a joke. I said, you know what? I'll buy one of these tablets for $300. And then I'll just take the license key, because Windows 8 Pro, the OS, is $200. So remember how we used to buy hard drives, you know, USB hard drives, and you'll tear out the drive because it was cheaper to buy the USB enclosure with the drive?
Yeah.
And you keep the drive and you throw the box up?
Right.
Well, here it's like buy one of these Venue, take the license key, and then maybe throw OS 10 on there. Because remember, Apple is telling us that OS 10 is free, right?
Yeah,
so it's I don't know. It's an Intel Atom or what?
It is it's an Intel Atom. Yeah.
So you probably be able to throw Bay Trail on there and see how fast that thing runs. But you know, it's a bit funny. It's like the OS is, you know, if you bought the OS is $200 and here $300 you're getting a tablet. So this is what makes it kind of, I guess, difficult for Microsoft to kind of compete. You know, let's say an 8-inch Windows tablet with an 8-inch Android, because the OS for Android is free, whereas Windows is saying, "Look, you want 8.1 on there? You know, we have to make at least $40 on that. So, however it is, expect to spend an extra $40-$50 more on the Windows 8 device."
Yeah, well, but think about this, right? I mean, so it's an 8-inch device, and it's running Windows 8, right? Pro. And you, I think Dave had a picture of it paired with that little wedge keyboard that I've got. And that makes, I mean, you're not going to get into a Surface Pro for that. I mean, that's half the price of a Surface Pro. So it's not a bad little, you know, it doesn't have a lot to it, right? It doesn't have the USB ports. It doesn't have a lot of the, you know, it's got a smaller processor in there and stuff like that.
I think it's got a micro, at least that's one nice thing with the Windows devices and the Android tablets. They all got the micro SD cards. With the Apple, with the iPads, there is no, so far, even with the new, the latest, greatest, right? There's no USB 3 or SD cards on the iPad.
Right, on iPad? I think so, yeah. Yeah, no, it's a pretty good little, it looks pretty good. I think Dave picked one up and he was reviewing it. If you want to get a good review or a good look at it, what they did last night, him and Darren and John looked at it on Surface Geeks. Head over to surfacegeeks.net. Have a peek. You know, John and I won't cover it here because there's plenty of coverage of that. And Dave's got one. So you can actually see it live and in action over there at it. But yeah, I think they were mentioning Black Friday in the chat room here. I think we are coming up on an interesting Black Friday. And if you're seeing these deals come out, and especially if you see them on Amazon, let us know. Head over to the Facebook group and drop them in there. I'm hoping to make November the month of deals there and to throw those Amazon links in there. Make sure you grab them from theaverageguy.tv/Amazon so we can continue to grow that tech scholarship fund. But yeah, some cool stuff. I guess I didn't really think about it. I saw that flyer come in the mail. I didn't really think about it. And then I heard Dave talking about it last night. And I thought, I guess now that I think about it, three. So it'd be nice. Okay, it's Dell. Microsoft would never do this, but imagine taking that $200 credit and putting it against that Pro, that 8-inch Pro for $99. Yeah, I'm in. I'm in for sure. And what's the screen resolution on that, though?
It's something by 800, 1280 by 800.
Okay, so not a full HD. Like you're going to get on the Surface 2 is full HD. So a little bit, you get a little bit bigger of a screen in that. They do both come with Office, so which is crazy that they send Office with RT and they don't give Office away with Pro. It should be the other way around, but good stuff.
Do you get
okay.
Office on that Venue, you're saying?
They do, yeah. It's got Office.
There's Student. Another couple of $100. I told you, take Office, take the license key and the Office key and then just chuck the device. Say, hey, you know, forget it.
Yeah. Oh, so other Jim says, I think the Pro means Windows. Yes. Yep. And it does come with Windows 8.1, right? 32-bit version of it because the Atom is still 32-bit, which is crazy. And Microsoft Office Home and Student 2013 and 2 gig of RAM.
Are they throwing in any free SkyDrive?
Oh, that's a great question. 1280 by 800 is the resolution. Let me look here.
I thought I heard on the yes. Surface Pro you might be getting $200 worth of SkyDrive or 200 gigs.
You're getting the equivalent of SkyDrive Premium. Not SkyDrive, sorry. Skype Premium. So you get these calls on Skype, plus you're getting 200 gig of SkyDrive. Another good reason to buy it. So...
You can't walk away from that.
No.
And don't forget, buy it from James.
Well, you can't. I wonder if they're selling those on Amazon. Let's take a look here. Hold on. We'll look at Amazon, and we'll say Dell VNUE. Yeah, I think they are. Let's see how much they are. Yeah, 327. Yeah, this is a 64-gig version. So for $25 more, you can get the 64-gig version or $299 on Dell or on Amazon from, and if you got Prime, they ship it right to you. So yeah, go over there and
see. That's the other thing, right? You know, when you double the memory, like 64 gig, they're charging you $30 more on an iPad. If you want 64 gig, I think it's an extra $100, and you know, like it's incredible. You know, the jumps, how much you're paying for the extra more memory, or the I think they were talking about that LTE. You're paying like $150 premium over the like the Nokia, right? They have that tablet, the 2520 or something like that. They're saying it's like you're paying $50 or $60 more to get the LTE, whereas an Apple iPad you're paying like $150 more to get LTE.
So, well, if you want to go, if you want to go ultra cheap, go out averageguy.tv, have a peek at that review that Kevin Schoonover did on the on the eMatic. EGP008, and he was kind enough to write that up and post it out there. Cool. He didn't even take advantage of the Average Guy scholarship to do it, John. He just did it out of the goodness of his heart.
Tell you what, I'll do it. Send me one of those pads.
I got to figure out the way to make that work in Canada.
The boat.
Cool. I'll have them send me a check so I can send you something in Canada. Why does it have to be so difficult for me to get things to you in Canada? That is just astounds me. I need someone who works in the United States, who lives in the United States and works in Canada. I got to have a listener that's crossing the border on a regular basis that could help me out with that. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Got to be a way to make this work so I can get John some good stuff. So one more thing that I had on my list, John, is that, and this is for all the road warriors out there, they probably already know this, but in the United States here, the FAA has determined now that passengers can leave their devices on during takeoff and landing. So, you know, anytime you get on a plane and they always say shut them off, and they've been getting militant about that. I mean, the flight attendants are coming up and down the aisle, sir, I need you to shut that off. Sir, I need you to shut that off. And and that's always me. I'm trying to send an email. But they're gonna relax those regulations, and so they think by the end of the year, no more. Well, you have to turn your wireless devices, like your phone or your laptop, off during takeoff. Just make sure you hold it. Well, you'll have to have it on your lap because they're not going to change the reg on the tray, on the tray table. So you will have to be having that or listening to it. I think the nice thing is just to listen to something when you take off. So That's another tech thing that's coming up. I think that will be nice. Hopefully by the end of the year, most of the airlines, at least here in the United States, will have relaxed their restrictions on that. All right, John, as we come in for a landing, you got anything else you want to cover?
No, I'm good.
Just like that, huh?
Yeah.
Nicely done.
One thing I was looking forward to is, like you guys mentioned before, Black Friday is I'm looking to purchase a software for Media Center Master. And this guy, he has a special once a year, and it's on Black Friday. So I think you buy, it's $20 for like a one-year subscription, and I've had them two consecutive years in a row, and it's like, okay, it's time to buy, but it's $50. And I said, you know what, let me wait until, because, you know, we're pretty close, right? It's, we're almost, I said, I'll wait another month and a half, and then he'll have a special, and then I'll pick that up. So I'm looking forward, that's why I'm running. What do you think, on your coattails?
Yeah, that'll work.
When you take advantage of your Black Friday, then I'll my PayPal and say, Dini, send it to me. And at least this way I could get, you know, a license there. I don't have to worry about them shipping me a package from the U.S.
Yeah.
I'll be able to get a discount on that software, so I'm looking forward to that. I'm also looking for the Wii. That's another story, but the new Mario and all
I
that.
I thought the Wii, didn't Nintendo come out recently and say no more Wii? They're done?
Well, yeah, the older console, which is the Wii, the white box, I think they might have sold some in black, you know? So, like, they stopped building the old console, you know, in favor of, the newer hardware.
Right.
So, hopefully that, it's sort of like, because there was one of the famous games, or very popular game was a Zelda game called Wind Waker. It was on the older console, and what they did is they kind of they modified it, upped the graphics and this and that, and now they made it, they're selling it as a bundle. They reimagined, they do like Microsoft, let's reimagine, let's take that little software, spruce up the graphics and throw it on the new console. So now they apparently their last quarter or whatever, they made all kinds of money, so they're all happy now that they're able to get that, selling more of their Wii U consoles. I like it.
All right.
We'll have to see how the Xbox comes out, the new Xbox One.
Yeah. Are you okay? Yeah. Good stuff. Okay. Well, I will remind folks as we kind of come in for a landing here. The next two Thursdays, I am not available. So next Thursday, we actually, if you're here in the U.S., we have a comedian. His name's Brian Regan. My family just loves him to death. And he's so funny that we'll oftentimes start a skit, like, you know how you repeat funny things, like skits and stuff too. So we'll start a funny, somebody will do something and it'll remind somebody of a skit that Brian Regan did. So a phone will come out and then we'll start listening to Brian Regan skits on YouTube, right? So he was going to be in Omaha, and so we bought tickets. And so next Thursday I will be out. Rennie is going to join us on Friday, though. We're moving the show to Friday night. So if you want to join us on the 8th of November, Rennie Phipps will be out, our friend from Australia. And we'll maybe get Andrew back and maybe just do an all-Australian show. That would be kind of fun. Get the Aussies involved in it. I need a Kiwi, too. We need to get a Kiwi. Rennie, why don't you start working on finding a Kiwi that can come on here from New Zealand, and we can just talk Pacific Rim smack for you guys. But so no live show on Thursday, but we're moving it to Friday night. So hopefully you can join us 8 p.m. Central. That's November 8th, 2013. If it's after that, you've missed it altogether anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But for our live listeners, we will go Friday night. Of course, I'll send out a bunch of reminders. And I do have one spot open for the regular hosts. So if you guys want to, anybody dying to jump on and talk tech on Friday night, maybe Thursday nights haven't been good for you, but you can jump on Friday night, let me know. And I'd love to have you on. We do got one more spot left. And then the Thursday after that, same deal. Actually, Sarah got us tickets to go see Brad Paisley, and so we're going to be out on Thursday night again. And that show will move to Friday, November 15th, 2013. So two Friday night shows coming up, and then Thanksgiving. No, there's one regular show. I think that's the 21st. We're back in a regular swing of things for the 21st. And then Thanksgiving, and we're off. So the whole month of November is already planned out for you. We've got some good stuff coming up, some good reviews coming up. Make sure you're checking theaverageguy.tv/live for all the good stuff that's happening. We are changing formats a little bit in December and in January. I have been running into all kinds of cool tech guys, and Rennie says he only knows about three Kiwis. So, by the way, Kiwi is if you're from New Zealand. And I've been meeting some really interesting tech guys. And so we're going to have Michael Crump back. We're going to have David Washington back. We're going to have a new guest that I'll tell you about more about later. Just some interesting tech guys that I met. And I'm working, John, I'm working on trying to get Robert Scoble. Robert Scoble. Yeah. So we'll see. May not be on this show. Might be on the Gallup show. But we are working on some tech guys. So I've got some, we'll do the first 30 minutes, we'll do a guest. We'll boot the guest off, and then we'll do the regular Home Tech podcast after that. And so we've got some cool stuff coming up well into the end of the year. Don't forget about the Amazon deals at the Facebook page. Don't forget about all the things that we do for you, like put the podcast on Stitcher. So if you're looking for an easy way to find the podcast each week, just head out to Stitcher to Stitcher.com. You can stream that right to your phone, Android phone, iPhone. Any web browser, you can stream that right to it, and an easy way to get it done. Home Tech, go to Stitcher.com, search Home Tech. We say it's education for your ears. You can also find the podcast just about anywhere, like right iTunes, Xbox Marketplace, Podomatic, Spreaker, Audioboo, all those places that's out. There's no reason for you not to get the podcast automatically. You guys are pretty good at that, so I am not worried about it. All right, I had a little contest with Mike Howard going on. He just killed me. He got to 1,000 first, and I didn't, but that doesn't mean you can't go out and subscribe to the YouTube page. So if you still want to do that, head out to theaverageguy.tv/YouTube. Get subscribed. Someday that'll actually matter and mean something. But get subscribed out there so I don't feel so bad, and we see if we can get our number above 400 by the end of November. Of course, you can catch the show live each week, 8 p.m. Central, over at theaverageguy.tv live. Join that Facebook group. Find us on Google. And again, don't forget the Amazon link, theaverageguy.tv/Amazon. We got that contest going on throughout the month of November. John Zadler, it is always great to have you on the podcast. Thanks for coming out tonight.
Sure. Thanks for having me, Jim. And thanks to the guys in the chat for listening to me for an hour or so.
Whole hour.
Yeah, geez. Thanks, guys.
Oh, John, it's always good to have you and catch up. And we'll schedule to have you back on here either in November or late or early December. We'll do it all over again next week. Remember, we're moving to Friday next week. So if you come out on Thursday, I won't be here. Join us at theaverageguy.tv. Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.